Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark with a Q. I'm your host, and and we're doing a special show today. First of all, I want to introduce you to my very talented co-host, who is an actress and a fighter. Serena Southpaw is on with us. How are you doing, Serena?
Doing great. Feeling great. Really excited for the show. Like I said before, I'm trying really hard not to fangirl here. So, oh my goodness, let's do this thing.
Yeah, exactly, because this guy is a talented comedian, but he's best known for his show. He's one of the great experts in metal and rock music on That Metal Show on VH1. I'm a huge fan of it as well. He's going to be over at Vamped coming up this week. If you guys don't know what Vamped is, that's Danny Coker's, a.k.a. The Count's club. He has his own rock band there. So Jim's going to be there with a live edition of That Metal Show over there, over at the Counts Club and all that as well. So without further ado, let's get Jim on right now. How are you doing, Jim?
What's going on?
Yeah, are you out here in Vegas yet?
No, I'll be out on Thursday morning. I get in.
Ah,
oh,
nice.
Oh, and I know.
Wait,
I know you've probably been here quite a few times.
I rarely get female fans. I'm just curious, why is Serena? Why is Serena a fan?
Why am I a fan of you, or why am I a fan of metal in general?
Well,
I'm a fan of you because I actually first heard of you because, well, even though I shouldn't have because I was like a younger audience, I actually first knew you from Crank Yankers and, you know, as Special Ed, and I started following you and just seeing what you're all about. I'm like, oh, shit, he's all over the place. So, and, you know, I started kind of following some of the stuff you did, and then when you had that metal show and I saw you were hosting, and I was hooked. So.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we're hopefully
going to get Shayna Baszler on with us. She might call in a little bit later on. I don't know who you happen to know, if you know who Shayna is, but she's a former UFC fighter. But she's the biggest metalhead I know. She's coached under Josh Barnett, who I'm pretty sure you know who that is. Yeah, hopefully maybe we'll get Shayna on too. And she's a really big fan of metal. I wanted her to come on the show as well. So hopefully maybe she'll give us a call and ask a couple of questions as well. It's been interesting to say the least in terms of what's been going on here in Vegas and in the terms of metal. We've seen a lot of metal and rockers come out here and do to have their own little shows out here as well. You know, it's kind of almost, you know, Mike, it's a little like Mecca. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Jim? And, you know, seeing people come out here and doing their own shows out here, you know, at the casinos and all that.
Well, I think a lot of rock stars are moving to Vegas. The LA scene is dead. There's nothing really going on. Most of those clubs in the Sunset Strip are closed or are closing, and it's just, you know, it's a weird scene out there. They're either moving to Vegas or Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, I've seen over the course of the 7 years I've had, nearly 8 years I've had the show, that I've seen a lot of acts come through. The Station Casinos have always been good to some of these acts growing through, and they've always had great crowds out here too. You know, it's always a kind of a party atmosphere out here. And you know, wave versus what? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's becoming like what I guess LA used to be in terms of the Sunset Strip and all that as well. So I mean, it's great to see some of these rockers have an opportunity to have kind of a second life out here.
Yeah, you look, I think as they get older too, maybe they got families that they don't want to travel as much, so if they could do a show, you know, a few nights or four or five nights a week in town and be home later that night in their own bed. You know, that's appealing to them. I get that.
I find it actually pretty strategic that they set up in Las Vegas, because the thing is, you got House of Blues there, and let's look at how many people just go to Vegas just to be in Vegas. So to have, you know, performances by artists, like, you know, in Las Vegas, I find it very smart for rockers to start making their home in Las Vegas. The only downside is, like, during the, you know, the summer, like right now, they better be prepared for every time they step outside the door, it's going to be like that initial blast in the oven. We're like, pow. Ugh. That's the one downside of Vegas. Everything else is great.
Yeah, I was going to mention
that. I don't know. It just seems like that's the place where everyone's going, and people are still into rock music, and people come from all over the world to Vegas, and, you know, there's still fans of, you know, the guys that played maybe in the 80s, and, you know, guys that were up that are on our show. People still go to see that. That's what, you know, look, if you think about it, that's where a lot of the older comedians go, you know, when they get to a certain point in their career. They go, you know what, I want to do a residency in Vegas, so I don't have to travel as much.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, like I said, it's an interesting thing that they're taking up these residencies out there. And, you know, a lot of them being very diversified. I know Vince Neil has a couple of businesses out here. I know that Sammy Hagar has a couple of businesses out here. It just seems like, you know, besides the fact that they can perform once in a while and be home, you know, every night and be with their kids and their wives, but the fact that they can also multitask and have other businesses going along with it too is a lot easier. So it's great to be able to see that ends up being the case in the situation as well. It's just great to see that a lot of these guys are actually diversifying and kind of using their celebrity and to have their own products.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, plus these guys, the bottom line is they're musicians, so they want to go out and play. You know, so if they're only touring, you know, 2-3 weeks out of the year on weekends or whatever, some of those bands, they want to just go up and jam. They want to go back to when they first started. Just go to a place and, you know, when they have a jam night or...
Yeah, and there's quite a few places in Vegas they can do that as well, not to mention Vamped, which is a really great club here in the area as well. And the Count has been known, you know, throughout his time as being, you know, really, you know, wanting to keep the rock tradition alive. And that's what I'm going to go to next. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of rock and metal on the charts for quite a while, actually. And I know that there's been the infamous quote by Gene Simmons that rock is dead. Can you tell me your opinion about what's going on with music right now? Is it just a situation where we're just kind of in that funk where we have a lot more popular music versus rock? Is it going to take somebody to kind of generate that momentum to be able to bring rock back to the charts?
I don't know. You know, and look, when a new metal album comes out, it usually charts pretty high. But then, you know, by the second or third week, it's gone, just like all music. You know, I saw Slipknot and Manson and Marilyn Manson this past Saturday at the place. There wasn't a seat in the house that was empty. I saw Whitesnake a couple weeks ago with Whitford St. Holmes opening, packed. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. You know, there's still people going to shows, and, you know, that's what the bands realize. That's where they're going to make their money. You know, the Whitesnakes and stuff, you know, you're not going to get 20-year-old kids going out buying a new Whitesnake record, but they're going to tour, and they got a great band behind them, and they sound great, and they're all professionals up there, and so people want to go see that. So, as far as the charts, yeah, but I don't know if the charts will ever come back. America's always been like that. Rock's been trendy. I mean, look at what the pop, you know, you could say, you're getting old, you don't know what you're talking about, but, the pop stuff that's on now, like the Drake and all that crap, I mean, it's so bad. It's probably
I agree with you. Yeah,
you know,
so
you got
here's
a couple talented ones out there, maybe Adele, you know, Lady Gaga, you know, you got a couple in there. Even Beyonce is just garbage, you know what I mean? So it's like there's nobody putting anything out there of any kind of substance at all besides, you know, Adele, Lady Gaga, and maybe a couple others that I can't pick off the top of my head.
I feel it, because here's my thing. I'm a 90s baby, so I kind of grew up, like, you know, in the midst of, like, you know, all sorts of metal and also a little bit of punk in there too. Like, I'm kind of feeling a certain way. Like, I'm trying to figure out what year it is, given that now Blink-182 is kind of having a number one charter. But it seems to be almost like a cultural shift. Like, instead of, like, when I was growing up where rock was kind of the thing, and, like, crying out loud when I was younger, I kind of remember there was this one song I always kept playing on the radio. It was like more of like a college anthem though, but I was like probably 7, so I didn't care, but I just liked it. But now it's been like, now it's more like you hear dubstep, you hear all this stuff that honestly sounds soulless, because it feels like there's no effort put into it. There's no, human touch to it anymore. And that's what I think Mark is trying to clarify. Like, will we see a return of music that actually is, you know, human, more human made, more of a human element to it versus more sounding like fucking Megatron's invading Earth or some shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, everyone should always pop action and auto tune and lip sync and not even singing at the concert, mm-hmm. back to track and stuff like that. Like, yeah, you know, and it's this generation, you know, is just, you know, kind of spoiled. They just want everything at that moment in their hand, you know, and want it as soon as possible. So they don't care as much as we did back in the 80s, back in the 90s, where you actually had to sit down and listen to a whole CD or a record or whatever it was and really go out and experience. They're spoiled. I'll just go to YouTube and we'll watch you flip. So, you know, so eventually, hopefully that's going to change, but right now it's not.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to some of these younger rockers. A couple months ago, I had this really great gal named Sophia Radish on. She actually, her album's actually being actually was produced by the Dover Brothers, who I'm pretty sure you know who that is. I think she's kind of, you know, she's going to be kind of what I'm hoping is going to start to be a movement into some of these younger artists. She's only 18 years old, and she has an album being produced by two members of Megadeth. I'm hoping that, you know, we get some of these younger individuals that are harboring back to looking at true rock and what that is. And, you know, I think that, you know, even in the climate right now, there is a little bit of rage that we still have to get out. And the charts isn't really showing that. We're seeing way too much, you know, kind of, I won't say happy music, but, you know, we aren't seeing that kind of dark side of things. So I'm hoping that people, we see more people like Sophia, shout out to her, come out and start really bringing the rock aspect back into the fold. So it'll be interesting to see. The cool thing is that nowadays I think a lot of these kids are listening to maybe music that was out before they were even born, and they're kind of getting into the fact that there's rock out there, and you know they're getting some traction in terms of that as well. So it's interesting to see how everything kind of goes. But in your opinion, Jim, how is it now for, you know, if a rock band, say, to get recognition? Because, you know, obviously back in the day, I mean, it was all about touring. Do you think it's still about touring?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only, you know, pretty much that's the only way you're going to do it. Get on one of these, you know, big festivals, the Mayhem Festival, or, you know, one of these big rock, you know, like a Rock on the Range and stuff like that, which, you know, look, you can't, people are going to say is rock dead. Rock in the Rain sells out every year, 90,000 tickets. You know, all these other festivals, Sport Rock and all these other ones around the country, all 50, 60,000, 70,000 people there. You know, they stack with great bands. So you have to get on a festival like that and just build your way up. You know, I see a band like Crobot. Crobot, I saw them at Rock in the Rain like 2 years ago. I'm like, these guys are amazing. And then, you know, they got on the Anthrax tour, and you know, so they're building up. They were on again this year at Rock in the Range. They were on a bigger stage. So that's how you do it. A band like the Pretty Reckless, Hailstorm, same with them. Started off a real small little stage in the back of nowhere, and then eventually graduated to a bigger stage. So I think that's how you have to do it.
Serena, did you have any questions?
No, I actually think you really hit the nail on the head there with that whole thing. I mean, I was thinking that the reason rock was kind of in decline for my generation because of a cultural shift, but that does explain some things too. I mean, kind of still hurts my soul, but I'll keep on hoping.
I'll tell you, you know what else ruined it, rock? Is great regular radio, terrestrial radio, really ruined it. Because when satellite came around, terrestrial radio should have taken more chances and started playing more obscure bands and not just the same bands over and over again. Like, say, Five Finger Death Punch puts a record out. They go, okay, that's Five Finger Death Punch, Disturbed, Godsmack. Those are the bands that are safe to play. When there was other bands out there that were great, too, but they didn't want to take a chance because that was kind of a name brand. And then they stuck with really the classic rock, didn't want to play any new rock, and they just wanted to play the oldies that were just everyone was familiar with. And they got even more concerned because they were afraid of satellite. That's when they should have taken a chance. So they really ruined it for hard rock and metal, too. Regular radio, because you listen to it now, it's so safe. I mean, it's as safe as it's ever been. It's a joke.
Any more safe
would
be that Radio Disney bullshit.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, too. I mean, I'm originally from Montana. I listen to rock stations up in Montana, and it's like, you know, there's no rock stations. I mean, maybe the college stations will play some really, you know, alternative music, but you know, besides that, we're getting a lot of classical rock music, and you know, at least, you know, about 30-40% of it's Led Zeppelin, strangely enough. It's interesting to see that, you know, they aren't taking risks as much. And, you know, even with the satellite, the introduction of satellite radio, I mean, you know, you're not guaranteed that you're going to get any airplay there either. So I like the idea of just trying to experiment. And I love the idea of these festivals, because if you can bring a fan in to see one person and then see, you know, three or four opening acts, and then they go and they see these people and they say, you know, hey, I like this, you know, I like this band, I'll have to take them out a little bit more. I think that helps a lot in terms of gaining a fan base. So, you know, hopefully that all kind of shifts towards that as well. I did want to ask you a question, Jim, about, you know, has there been anybody on the show, anybody that you haven't had the show that you would love to have on the show?
You know, James Hetfield from Metallica, that would have been great. Eddie Van Halen, you know, that was a big one we never had on. Or any of the Van Halens, pretty much. And then also, Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, that would have been awesome to have those guys on, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, it would be interesting to see those guys on the show. And I mean, you know, I think the last one I saw, and that happened to be, I was on vacation at that point, you know, and I was watching your Dee Snider interview, and Dee, I mean, is just absolutely, he's a brilliant guy, and I knew that going into when you guys did the interview with him, and the guy is a smart business person. I love his show House of Hair, by the way. Absolutely great syndicated show. Shout out to that too. But Dee did a great job on your show, and I wanted to mention that you guys did a really great show with him. So I appreciated that. It's a great show. I mean, what kind of reaction have you been getting from people in terms of the show, and have you been getting younger fans tuning into the show and recognizing you on the street?
I think so, because a lot of, you know, the dads out there get the kids into, you know, the Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, so maybe they're, like my brother's, you know, he has a son that's 17, the son likes more, you know, the Avenged Sevenfold, and Five Finger Death Punch, of Bison Man, Slipknot, that kind of stuff, so, but then my brother got him into, like, Sabbath, Maiden, AC/DC and stuff, so he likes both, so he'll watch our show. We have a newer band on, you know, which I was always, you know, from day one, I said we got to mix in something old and the new. It's going to be better because there's got a lot of, no one's going to be mad if we have a Ben Sevenfold on that's an old rocker, because they're on a lot of the same festivals that, you know, Judas Priest and all those other bands are on too. You know, everybody knows Hatebreed. Hatebreed's been on every, you know, every other Ozfest. So it's okay if we have Hatebreed on, you know, no older metal dude, you know, a 40-year-old male that's usually the demo to watch our show, is going to be like, oh, hey, what do I have an Hatebreed on for? So I think it worked. I think people, you know, then people got to the point where like, hey, I don't know this band, but I might go check him out. This guy's pretty interesting, talking about his influence growing up of, you know, listening to Sabbath and Randy Rhoads and stuff like that. So we always brought that in with a newer artist where, you know, just, you know, where did your influences come from? And then you see, okay, now this makes sense. Avenged Sevenfold, a big Metallica band. You can hear it, especially in the last record, too.
Speaking of Ozzy, I know he has a new show coming out on the History Channel. He's had his own reality show. Do you think that has helped in terms of, you know, getting the younger generation to figure out who Ozzy is and maybe the metal, you know, for them to even get a little bit of taste of metal? Or do you think that, you know, this is kind of a little over the top, you know, for a rocker, and it's probably the less rock thing that you could do? I mean, what's your opinion on Ozzy, you know, kind of doing this reality show stuff?
Well, that's reality, the one that he's doing on the History Channel, that's really his son, Jax. And I guess, you know, Ozzy will go around in some episodes with him, I know, explore or whatever. But even in the heyday of the Osbournes, when it was on his team, you know, I was going to the Ozfest, he wasn't drawing any more people because of that. And I don't think he was drawing anybody that was watching that show going, I got to go see Ozzy because he's so crazy. You know, he can't work a remote control. You know what I mean? So he still had his built-in audience. I just, you know, that was just to show another side of Ozzy. He never did.
Sorry, that was my phone being all weird. Excuse me for that.
He never thought it would be that big in a country sense. But now, you know, look, what are you going to do? You know, you wanted to see, I don't know, I didn't mind seeing a human side of Ozzy. He got a little, you know, the first two seasons I didn't mind watching. He had such a bad reputation in the 80s, you know, so I don't know. My thing is, if you don't like it, just don't watch it. Like Steven Tyler, when he became a judge in American Idol, I'm like, well, I'm not going to watch that. Not that I watched it.
I love Aerosmith, but I couldn't stand that at all. I'm just like, nope. This is like trying to put me in a tutu, Mark. There's something you just don't do.
And for me, I mean, I'm all older, you know, 80s version of Aerosmith, maybe even a little bit earlier than that. Then after that, it just got, you know, I kind of fell off. So, and I think a lot of us did. It's you know, I think it's interesting to say the least, and I kind of miss, like I said, that you know, the idea of getting some of that stuff going on. So, now, like I said, it's interesting that you're going to be over at Vamp. Is this the first time you've been over to that venue?
No, I've been there a bunch of times. We did a show there about a year ago, me, Don, and Eddie. And whenever I come to Vegas, I always go hang out there. I just saw Past the Pussycat there. The Weekend Guns N' Roses in town, and was in April when I did their first show I saw, and the next night I saw Pat the Pussycat over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Like I said, again, Danny does a really good job over there at Vamped. You know, like I said, he's always into the rock scene and all that as well. I mean, how's it been for you to be over there with the Count and to be able to work with him and meet him and be friends with him over, you know, over at Vamped and, you know, then and work with the venue?
I love the venue. It's great. Was that the venue that Vince used to own, but they changed their name?
It might have been.
I think so. I love a rock club, a hard rock club. I love that. And you don't see that too much anywhere anymore. So whenever I go to Vegas, I'm like, I want to go there. I'm not going to go to a club with a bottle service and wear a button down, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there's very few, you know, there's a couple of clubs, but it's very few and far between at that point. But like I said, Danny does a really great job over there. So it's great to be able to see that. And he always has some people stop by once in a while too. So it's great to be able to see him, you know, him really kind of like say, open up this club and be successful. I mean, this was opened up a couple of years ago and it's still going. So I'm happy for him. You know, and like I said, it's a really great central location in terms of rockers as well. Serene, do you have anything?
Nope, you're talking about stuff that I really wish I knew in Vegas because I'm a recent transplant. I lived in Philadelphia for the longest time until March. And I mean, I've been to Vegas a few times before, but that was merely for training purposes. So I'm still trying to, you know, find my way around. Like, I know about so many, you know, rock scenes in Philadelphia, like, you know, especially for local coming up town, like the TLA has been like, you know, a big thing for everybody. And in summer, there's a lot of bands that'll be coming out just touring around and like, you know, Penn's Landing become like the Festival Pier becomes a big showing spot for like our local radio station that hosts outdoor music festivals. But yeah, hearing all this stuff in Vegas, I'm like, of all the times I'm not in Vegas, why now?
Yeah, you know, are you still doing comedy, Jim?
That's my full-time gig.
Yeah, I mean, do you do very much comedy out here in Vegas at all?
Yeah, I go out there all the time. I played Vinyl. I played at South Point Casino. I was out there like 9 months ago. I did the theater there, did Vinyl. Yeah, I mean, I'm out there like once a year doing stand-up.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll have to check you out when I get a chance then.
Well, we're doing stand-up on Thursday. Tell me and Don do a little stand-up corner show, and then Eddie tells some rock stories. Then we do something Trump. We do a little trivia. We'll interview if we got any rock stars there. We'll interview them like we do on that metal show. So, you know, come out on Thursday.
Yeah. Any word on when the show is going to be back on VH1?
Yeah, we'll be back on VH1, but we're trying to find a new channel for it, a new home for it. So we'll probably know by like September.
Fingers crossed, because I think it's a really good show, and I think there's a lot of fans that want to see it back. So hopefully we get to see that on a network again. Anything else you want to add? Anything else you need to plug?
No, I mean, just come out to the show Thursday, fam. I think it's a 9 o'clock show, whatever. The Sin City Sitters are going to play after us, after our set, after our show. So it's going to be a fun night.
Well, that's great. And you guys can follow Jim on Twitter at Mr. Jim Florentine, and Jim Florentine on Facebook as well. And you can just look up that metal show on there as well, and Jim's website as well. So you guys can check out his upcoming dates. If you can't make it to the Vegas date, we're still touring around that metal show to several different other locations. So if you miss it out here in Vegas, then please do so. Anything else I'm missing, Jim?
The latest stand-up special I released is up on iTunes. It's called I'm Your Savior. You can rent it, you can buy it, you can stream it for $5, whatever. So, it's all up on iTunes, on those sites.
So, yeah, make sure you guys check that out as well. Jim, absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Hopefully I'll catch you next time before you hit Vegas with your comedy. And best of luck to you. And I really look forward to hearing about that metal show. Hopefully we get a new network for it. And see you at Vamped.
Great, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yep, I hope to see you when I'm back in Vegas too. Shoot, hit me up, man.
Wait, so you're in Philly now?
I'm in Philadelphia now just visiting friends and family, but my full-time residence is in Las Vegas.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah, I'm usually out there for like probably 4 or 5 months with shows or whatever, yeah, so. You know.
Sweet.
Beautiful.
Well, Jim, again, congratulations on the success, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, great. Thanks.
Yep. Bye.
Nice to see you.
Jim Florentine, everybody. That metal show, like I said, just look him up. We didn't even get into the Crank Yankers.
I know.
A lot about
I wanted to
well.
So bad. But, yeah, but, you know, he answered a lot of questions I personally had about why my generation is a bunch of pansies when it comes to, like, listening to good music. So I'm kind of happy that got cleared up in the, you know, he cleared up relatively easily in a way I kind of get it now. It's not just a cultural shift, it's just like how the media kind of works a little bit too. So it was kind of a little eye-opening for me. And yeah, I liked it. Yeah, hope I didn't fangirl too much, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of rage right now. It almost seems like that, you know, that could, you know, that society sometimes need a release from that. I'm really hoping that that stuff comes off. Maybe I'll get Sophia back on the show again. I mean, she's like I said, 18 years old, and then she's got an album out that's produced by Megadeth, two of the members of Megadeth. She's a really great gal, and she wants to co-host at some point. So I'll have to see if she wants to come back on the show again. She's a really great gal, up in Canada actually. But yeah, I mean, it's great to be able to see, you know, that kind of stuff going down. And I think that we need to see more, you know, rock music out there and see more people put themselves out there. I think a lot of it has to do
break
with
the mundane
cycle flash.
That's on.
Yeah, and the ironic thing is that back in the day when MTV was popular, the reason why a lot of these rock bands were great was because of their videos. And now it just seems like the rockers aren't too, you know, like, you know, I don't want to do a video, or, you know, I don't want to do something fun. And then that's what happens when we get the rappers and the pop music, you know, people doing
which are willing to be
fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean. I had the lead singer of Green Jelly on the show a couple years ago. I think it was my second, third year doing the podcast. Really great guy, by the way. Really, really awesome guy to be able to talk to. And he was, and it was a loaded show. It was a very loaded show. Probably my, I think I had, that was my record, I think, 8 or 9 guests on one show. It was crazy, but, mm-hmm. or a 2-hour show, that's crazy. But no, he was talking about, you know, I talked to him about Three Little Pigs, which, you know, that went viral, before viral was viral, that music video, you know, the claymation and, you know, just the hard rock riffs, you know, little pig, let me in, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. That was just, I mean, that was just a juggernaut for him. And I think that we need to see that a little bit more in terms of the rockers. I know it would, you know, I know it kind of, you know, dulls their edge a little bit, but you have to get out of there somehow. You know, I think mm-hmm. that the only thing that's going to cater, going on a tour only caters to metalheads. And in order to get a wider general audience, you need to kind of work out there. So I'm interested to see if some of these, you know, rock bands really kind of put their creative foot forward and be able to be able to do it. So hopefully that's something we see in the future. But it's great to see Jim and the guys over at That Metal Show kind of keep the genre alive, as it were. Because I know some of these metal guys and rock, you know, rock legends are getting a little bit long in the tooth. They're getting a little bit old in their age. And you know, you know, once they're gone, then we kind of start to lose that history. And I really want some of these younger folk that maybe weren't even born when some of these people were getting number one hits, to kind of appreciate that kind of music again. So, hopefully that's something as well.
In time, parents need to do a better job in introducing their kids to good music. Cause I remember when I was like 4, my mom be playing like Aerosmith, she'd be playing Metallica, she'd be playing all sorts of cool shit. And it just made me try and track down the radio stations I played at, and then in turn it would introduce me to more and more bands that I would turn to like. And even though I have a very eclectic music taste, like I still have a fondness for metal and for punk rock in general, because all rock in general, because that was like honestly the first starting point I had. Then because of where I lived, I kind of started gravitating toward rap, and then I just kind of like started to like everything I just could, you know, listen to. It just kind of felt great. So yeah, parents need to stop being lazy and just start like, this is my kind of music. I mean, for crying, even if it makes people, like, for example, I always get called old for liking, this is not metal by the way, for liking Santana. I like Santana, so what? But people are like, oh, that's what my parents listen to. And I'm like, I don't give a shit that your parents were OGs, and you guys obviously aren't, because you're over there listening to Ariana Grande or some dumb shit like that. So it just boggles my
mind. There was a study, and I was just looking it up real quick, that says that metal fans are happier than anyone else. They did a study about people who listen to metal and all that as well. And I mean, that goes back to, I think, is the release of what, you know, what it is, you know. I mean, you know, sometimes you just want to thrash and you just want to, you know, be angry, and then that releases mm-hmm. that releases a lot of the anger that's in you, and then you're happier.
It's why I train and punch people.
Yeah, exactly.
Metal actually helps me get those last few reps in that I really can't do when I'm like lifting or doing pull-ups and stuff. So it's like I'll blast something like something for Avenged Sevenfold, or, you know, just anything really to get me going. Treyu. So, and just all those, like, I feel like, okay, I can't get that 11th pull-up in. And it's like, that comes all like, yes, I can. Fuck this. I get the last rep in. So, I mean, metal and just all of it. Real music is what everybody needs today. And it's really sad that it's not there.
Yeah.
I don't know why we don't value
it
anymore. But it needs this needs to change.
Yeah, that driving beat really kind of gets you through the day, you know. It pushes you forward. I mean, a lot of this music is kind of, you know, slower than a lot of it, but, you know, metal definitely pushes you through the day. So, yeah, I mean, it's great to be able to hear.
And it's emasculated.
Yeah. But anyway, I want to mention you guys can follow Serena on Twitter at Serena Southpaw, Serena De Jesus on Facebook as well. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what goes on in terms of it next week. I'm not exactly sure if I'll have a show yet. I'll let you guys know. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to hopefully have more shows more often now. I'm off Mondays now, so I can start doing Monday shows more often. So hopefully I'll be doing more shows. I know I've been off and on for the past couple months, but I want to try to bribe through my eighth year on this podcast. So we'll have to see what goes down. I mean, I've always getting requests in my mailbox for people to come on the show. So no lack of guests, as it were. So I will let you guys know. Please follow us on Twitter at SWIV, at SWIV, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. And we will we'll let you guys know what's going on there as well. You know, have fun out there in Philly, and hopefully you can be back to Vegas pretty soon.
I will. I already pretty much announced my return date. So, yep, see everybody next month back in Vegas.
Well, that's great to hear, and always a pleasure to have you on the show and co-hosting Serena, and we will talk to you soon.
Oh, of course. Thanks for having me on, Mark. It's always fun to co-host with you.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said, everybody, I'll let you guys know if we'll have a show next week. If it will, it will be at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Monday. With that in mind, we'll talk to you guys next week, hopefully. Talk to you then.
All right.